Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Logan, to your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. This might be a very stupid question, but it is my question nonetheless. I've heard that song sung by like 19 different people. So just anybody can sing that song and profit off of it. So like tomorrow, you and I could sing that song and put it on iTunes and make money off of it, and we can just keep all the money. I'm not even trying to be funny. I don't even know the rules, but we all have heard that song sung by 15 other people. So, like, nobody just owns the rights to that song. The masters are just up for grabs.
I mean, the same thing like Jingle Bell Rock and White Christmas.
I would assume so. Like, some of those songs, like, you could just, everybody can sing. So, you're telling me tomorrow I could make my own Christmas album of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Silent Night, and I can just keep all the money for myself? That's, I mean, it?
Isn't that what Michael Bublé and Michael Bolton and Neil Diamond and all these others have done?
Why doesn't every artist do this then? Honestly, like, what's stopping Adele from just going, let me just sing this song, and I'm just going to make a quick $5 million. Like, I don't have to do any work. Just somebody come in here, play some instruments. I'm just going to sing it. I'm just going to release it. What's stopping? Every artist should make a Christmas album if you could just sing the same songs every time.
I don't know, man. People who create in this space seem to dominate in this space. Mariah Carey has made a career out of one song because she just pulled it out of thin air, and now she's a hero forever.
Someone said, hey, C-Dot, you could do the same thing with Purple Rain. That don't sound accurate at all. You trying to get me fired out here. Text line be trying to set you up, bro. That's what the text line's about. Oh, you could just do Thriller that way. No. Take my life away from me.
And the Beatles aren't really worried about certain life things. Yeah, get after them.
Put me under the jail for just doing that. I didn't know that, though. Someone said it's called Free Domain. Oh, that's crazy. Somebody did all that work to come up with that song and they just don't own the song anymore. That stinks. I feel bad for that person.
I feel like they may have made money in the initial holdings, but time.
Yeah, back then they got two oxen for that song is what they got.
Hey, two oxen is the equivalent
of
a couple
million. They got two oxen and an acre of land. Hey, thanks. We appreciate you. Appreciate everything you've done. So we are getting ready for Chiefs and Broncos Sunday Night Football. There's a lot going on in the 816 and 913 and 785 area. So we'll get to the hits. We'll talk some Chiefs and Broncos. We'll share with you some office debates we've been having over the course of the day. We will have a lot of fun in this 5 o'clock hour. Hit it, Rob.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go. Well, the hits every day at 5 o'clock are brought to you by our friends over at Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio repair in Kansas City since 1967. Well, for weeks, people have debated it. Are the Chiefs back? Are the Chiefs back? Are the Chiefs back? Well, after the win over the Cowboys, a lot of people have solidified themselves in the take they are back. Tyreek Hill furthered that one. He went on TMZ.
Hey, Usain Bolt, let me tell you something, man. Look, you see that right here? Look, you see this Super Bowl ring right here, man? Oh, it feels so good on my hand. And get what? When I beat you, I'm going to have a gold medal around my neck, too, just to go with this jury. And while you at it, oh my God, I can't believe he really just said that.
What if you go out and get a second Super Bowl ring this year? Is that something you'd even consider? Because you only have one. He has a lot of gold medals.
Man, I'm not hearing none of that. My Super Bowl ring is times all those gold medals.
Putting aside the nonsense he said there about how his one Super Bowl ring is nine times all those gold medals, Carrington, do you believe that fake race rumors are back is a sign the Chiefs are at full go?
Oh, the Chiefs are back, baby. This is the Chiefs that I've come to know and love. These are the Chiefs headlines I love to read. For a while there, it was scary season. The headlines we were reading were, you know, quarterback's brother's TikTok videos. You know, we were reading stories about Instagram comment posts. You know, it was rough for a couple of weeks there. It wasn't that hot. These are the Chiefs off the field headlines that I'm used to. Wide receiver challenges track star to race. This is how you know you're getting your swagger back. Remember when I was sick? There were certain things like, all right, you know, I kind of feel like myself again, you know? I'm back to the same shenanigans I was up to before. This is the old Chiefs shenanigans that we've been used to. If you wanted any evidence of the return of the Chiefs, it's the return of this story. We only do these stories when everything is good. Remember when we spent all that time talking about a hypothetical throw-off between Mahomes and Josh Allen? Oh, we love that. Remember when Patrick Mahomes threw the ball out of Arrowhead? We love these kind of stories. They make us feel good. We can only do these when things are going great. Things are back going great for the Chiefs. Good for them. Good for us.
Two.
It was real mopey around here in October. It was real mopey around these parts.
I mean, you didn't like doing stories about, are the Chiefs fans toxic? 913-576-7610. You didn't like
those? I will say this. The best player on the defense called the Chiefs the most toxic fans in the world. And it was just like, my bad. I messed up. You know, I get emotional sometimes. He gave out a few turkeys and now we love him again. It's great.
I mean, he just said whoops and everyone's like, aw.
I'm telling you. Like, at this point, this is what it is. Some of you are not leaving your marriage. Not saying anything that bad is happening, but just like, at this point, like, yo, we done been together for 27 years. I'm in my 50s, you in your 50s. I'm not interested in being single again. We gonna die together at this point. You can make me upset. We just gonna push through this. Like, I'm just gonna push through it. I get over the fact that you snore loudly. I'm just gonna go sleep downstairs. That's it. Tyrann Mathieu was like, yo, you're the most toxic fans in the world. My bad, bro. My bad. I was wrong here. My bad. I messed up.
I don't know, man. I really enjoyed this show we got to do, and that one guy was like, I think we should bench Mahomes. That was a fun one because it was just so crazy. It was a fun time. Well, speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs and red hot teams, the New England Patriots are a lot of people, including you, Carrington's flavor of the month, Danny Parkins. Gambling expert Danny Parkins was on the show earlier today. He said this would be the line the Chiefs and Patriots played tomorrow.
I think they'd be favored, but I think they'd be favored by like one. What New England has done is remarkable. Like, they are so very clearly the best coach team in football.
Carrington, do you agree with Bet Rivers gambling expert Danny Parkins that the Chiefs and Patriots played tomorrow? The Chiefs would only be a one-point favorite, a near pick'em against Mac Jones and co.
Yo, first off, stop calling that man that. Please. Please do not call that man on this show gambling expert. Please don't. I ask you. I implore you. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I think the Chiefs would be favored over the Patriots, regardless of where the game was played. If it was played at Arrowhead or it was played at Foxborough, I do believe so. I believe they'd be largely favored because of Patrick Mahomes. Now, I want to be clear about my affinity towards the New England Patriots. It does only go so far. I believe they're more consistent than the other teams in the AFC, but I think Kansas City is better and also playing at a little bit of a higher level. I think that's somewhat subjective just because the Patriots have been rolling teams, but they have been rolling teams that I think are either banged up like Tennessee was or just not good like Atlanta. I like New England because I think they do a lot of the things that you can win 11 or 12 games with. You can win 11 games by being really well coached. You could win 11 games by being able to run the football. You can win 11 games by playing really good defense and turning teams over. Like, that's a formula we see teams win the playoffs or get to the playoffs every year. But what typically happens in the playoffs are that team is going to need to score 27 to beat somebody. They're going to need their quarterback to make 4 to 7 plays over the course of the game that he's just not capable of making. That's kind of like what happened at Kansas City. We've seen some Chiefs teams that could turn teams over. We've seen some decent defensive teams in Kansas City. We've certainly seen Chiefs teams that could run the football really well, but you always had a quarterback that once you got to the playoffs, you were going to hit your ceiling. And that's just kind of what this Patriots team feels like. I'm impressed with them. I'm encouraged by them. I'd pick them in a playoff game over Tennessee if they played tomorrow. I'd pick them in a playoff game over Buffalo tomorrow if they played. I would not pick them over Kansas City.
Four.
Well, the top non-Kansas City sports story today is not college football, but instead, somehow the Pittsburgh Steelers, their wide receiver had an idea for how to get things going up in Pittsburgh.
I mean, this is something I've said since I was in college. We never had it, but I think like maybe some music would help. But we have music in the warm-ups, and that's always fun. People are dancing, having fun. So I think maybe music would make practice a little more fun and a little more up-tempo. That's my one suggestion, but Coach T's been doing this a lot longer than I have. So.
Carrington, do you agree with Chase Claypool? A little bit of music at practice would fix the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This is how I know things are going really poorly. This is how I know things are going really poorly if you are trying to make football practice more fun and enjoyable. It's football practice. I don't really know how much fun it can be. I don't really know how enjoyable it can be. You're practicing football. Have you guys ever been to a football practice before? Like you've been to training camp? It's not that fun and exciting. It's not that exhilarating. When you're talking about that in the middle of the season, it's not going well. You know what the problem is, Chase? The problem is not that practice isn't fun. It's your quarterback stinks. You don't need to change the music and the atmosphere. You need to change quarterbacks is what you need to do. You need to change QBs. Needs to be plan number one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're not good enough at that position. That's the biggest problem right now with the team. I will say this, Rob, going back to the New England Patriots just a little bit. I do think, and I will put myself in this category, as much as I don't want to, but I have to. I got to be fair. I do think that media people like myself have rushed to put the crown on a lot of other teams' heads while Kansas City hasn't looked to be the part. We had the crown firmly on Kansas City's head for basically 3 years. And the shine was looking a little faded for a minute there. It wasn't looking good. It wasn't just media people that felt this way. I think most people felt, especially after that Sunday night game when Buffalo came in here and really dominated Kansas City, that the AFC, at least through the playoffs, was going to go through Buffalo this time and not Kansas City. When you saw Tennessee and how Tennessee smoked Kansas City in their game, I think there was a feeling, hey, look at Tennessee. Look at their schedule. It's going to be tough to get that one seed going up against Tennessee. Now, I still think that it's going to be difficult for Kansas City to get the one seed. I think you're basically going to have to go undefeated the rest of the way. You're probably going to have to go 13-4. And you're going to have to obviously hope that either Baltimore, Tennessee, or Buffalo all finish with less than 13 wins because the odds are one of those teams win 12 games, right? That's the odd. One of those teams between Baltimore, New England, Tennessee, and Buffalo, one of those teams will probably at least win 12 games. So you probably need to win 13, I think, to ensure you get the one seed. But I don't know if the seeding maybe matters as much with Kansas City if your defense is playing at this kind of level. The way their defense is playing right now is arguably the best Chiefs defense that we've seen under Patrick Mahomes. And that's going to translate anywhere. Are the Chiefs flawed in some way? Sure. This isn't a great rushing team. They still don't have a number two pass catching option. I still have my questions about Kansas City. But at this point, I think it's a very simple exercise. you write down and think of all the things you like about a team, and then you sit down and you write down all the things you dislike about a team. And for a lot of teams, I would say right now in the AFC, there appears to be more things that you dislike about them than things that you like. Like right now with Tennessee, there's not a whole lot that I like as of right now about Tennessee. Don't have their running back. Don't have their number one or number two wide receiver. Don't have their best defensive player. Buffalo has basically been hot and cold the entire season since they last played Kansas City. Baltimore's quarterback has really played poorly the last 6 weeks. There's a lot of things to not like about these teams. And that's why I think right now, at least to your point about the flavor of the month and why I think Kansas City and New England are sort of feeling the effects of that, is there's a lot to like about Kansas City. Quarterback seems to turn it around. Defense is playing really well the last 6 weeks. Coach obviously won a Super Bowl. Team experienced, won a Super Bowl. There's a lot of things to like about Kansas City. I would say New England, a lot of things to like about New England. Quarterback doesn't turn the ball over, runs the football very effectively, number one scoring defense in the NFL, number two at turnover margin and takeover differential. There's a lot of things to really like about those teams. So I think Mitch made a really good point at the beginning of the week when he said that the AFC had a chance to sort of knock out Kansas City and they left the door open for Kansas City to really walk through. I think he made a really good point when that happens. But I think at this point in the AFC, Rob, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, there's a lot more things that I think we dislike about teams and teams that are not trending in the right direction headed towards December than the exact opposite. Kansas City, not just in the AFC, they're one of the few teams in the NFL that I think are starting to play their best football heading into the most important month of the year.
I think a lot of what you said is true about the teams that we have the most faith in are peaking at the right time. I also think too often we think preseason like we had it nailed or we're way off. I think this week could change our perception of Buffalo and the flavor of the month conversation would change again. If Buffalo thumps the Patriots, I think our whole perception of Buffalo changes. If the Bengals stay hot, I think our whole perception of them changes. So I think the flavor of the month thing is happening because I think no one's been consistent this year. To your point about the Patriots and Chiefs and the it'd be a 1-point line or whatever, in this hypothetical Chiefs-Patriots game, the more I was thinking about it, and I heard Parkins say it, and you say it, I actually think the Chiefs match up poorly with the Patriots, which is why if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm actually, and Pete said earlier, I'm actually cheering for the Bills to make a run over the Patriots, because what the Patriots do well is they shut you down defensively and they just play solid offense. It's been kind of quiet. We haven't really talked about this that much. But outside that Raiders game, have the Chiefs in like a month, month and a half looked great offensively? Not really. And that includes against rummies like the Giants, held them to 16 or 19 points. Something bad. The Packers held them down. The Cowboys held them down. The Raiders are the only team that didn't hold them down recently. So styles make fights. So the more I thought about it, that 1-point line that Parkins mentioned makes sense to me, because the Patriots could hold down this Chiefs offense, because a lot of people are holding on this Chiefs offense right now, as quiet as that's kept. And if Mac Jones plays mistake-free football, the Patriots could get him. So to your point about the flavor of the month, I think Chiefs fans should hope the Bills are December's flavor of the month, because that would mean they have two wins over the Patriots, a styles make fights thing that I don't think works in the Chiefs' favor.
I think that's a good point. Where I would counter with, and coming up in a little bit, I'll give Brett Veach a little bit of credit, which has been very difficult for me to do given my track record with Brett Veach, but I'll do it anyway. Where I'll defend Kansas City's offense just a little bit here is, I don't think the Chiefs offense is going back to what it used to be. I don't think that we're going to go back through a stretch where Kansas City was just hanging big numbers on teams. Think about the first 4 weeks of the season. 33 points against Cleveland, 35 points against Baltimore, 24 points against Los Angeles, but they also were -4 in the turnover differential, and they scored 42 points against Philadelphia. I think that, to some extent, is over. I don't think over the next 5-6 weeks of the season and heading to the playoffs, like I'm going to guess, let's say this team goes to the Super Bowl, right? I don't think they're going to get the one seed, so they're going to play three straight playoff games, and one, maybe two, could be on the road, right? I think that they probably score under 30 in two of those games. But what I think at least gives me hope and what makes me optimistic is I think the Chiefs have an ability to win a 28-24 game. I think they could beat a team 24-27. And that's what you have to do this year, I think, in the NFL. I don't think it was realistic to think that you were going to always go out there and just roll the ball out there and just hang 30 on every team in the NFL. I think we can say that now about Kansas City. That's a thing of the past. But I would also say is I don't think that Buffalo is going to put 30 points on everybody in the postseason. Tennessee's not going to put 30 up on everybody in the postseason. New England isn't scoring 30 on everybody. Do you have the ability to win a grinded out 28-24 game? Do you have the ability to win 24-17? This year, you're going to need that. The same way we talk about in the NCAA tournament. Now, I've never seen my team advance that far in the tournament. They've never got to, you know, the really important rounds, but I've seen enough to know. At least one time in the tournament, you're going to have a game where you win by defense and free throws. It's going to be close with 2 minutes to go in the tournament. It could be the first round. It could be the national championship. You're going to have to win a game to grind it out. This year in the AFC, you're going to have to win a game to grind it out. You're going to have to beat Dallas 19-9 in one of these games. You're going to have to go on the road and beat Cincinnati 21-17. Your offense isn't going to have it that day. Cincy's going to do a really good job, and you need your defense to play complimentary football. So I think the Chiefs are as equipped to win this tournament as any team in the NFL is. At least with their defense, they now seem prepared to play both ends of the spectrum. They can beat you 35-30 if you want to play it that way. If you want to play a run and gun, up and down, touchdown for touchdown, they obviously can do that. We've seen that. Or defensively, they can beat you 24-17. At the very beginning of the season, they could only beat you 42-40. They could not beat you 24-17. This season really started to shift once they showed you the ability to beat you the other way too.
I love that college basketball analogy. I was actually formulating one as you were talking. But I think what gives me a little concern, I think you're right, you got to win those grinded out games. What gives me a little concern, and we'll stay in the cross-sport analogy here, is imagine November is like February in college basketball. You're playing conference games. They're tight. They're tough. You can see the finish line, but they're important. And yeah, you got to grind out a win against a Dallas team or a Washington team where you don't have your best shooting night. But what I would have liked to have seen is when you're playing TCU, which in this equivalent is the Giants, and they're not making shots, which the Giants can't score, so you maybe do hang a big number on them. I don't think you need to grind out everyone. I want to see them hang a number on a team I know they're better than. Which, looking at the schedule, the next time they can do that is, what, the Steelers game? But the fact that they didn't hang a number on the Titans defense, which has turned back into a pumpkin. The Giants defense, which is a pumpkin. The Packers defense is good. They did it against the Raiders, but the Dallas team had no offense and you couldn't really score against them either. It's a little bit hesitation for me to be like, oh, the offense is back.
Coming up next, I give praise to Brett Veach. Second time this week, I'm not getting enough credit for the praise that I've been giving Brett Veach. I gave him credit for getting the best pass rusher at the deadline in Melvin Ingram. Even though I was all for the Melvin Ingram move, there's another thing that Brett Veach, as of right now, is doing at a really high level that I want to be sure he gets his praise for. I'll tell you what that is next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll tell you about an office debate that we had earlier today. We'll also get to the extra point. Yesterday, I told you guys to watch Suns and Warriors, and Steph Curry had his worst shooting performance of his career, so you're welcome. So I was surfing the interwebs, and I saw a stat. The stat said it was the highest-rated defensive players in the NFL under the age of 25, according to Pro Football Focus. Number one was Max Crosby, edge rusher from the Las Vegas Raiders, really talented. Number two was Rashad Fenton, corner for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Rob, it got me thinking. Do you remember the Kansas City Chiefs 2008 draft? I mean, that's one of the best drafts you can have without taking a franchise quarterback. I mean, their first four picks are Glenn Dorsey, Brandon Albert, Brandon Flowers, and Jamal Charles. And oh yeah, by the way, they picked up Brandon Carr in the fifth round. Now, Dorsey was a bust of a top five pick, but Albert played, 8 years in the league? Brandon Flowers played 8 years in the league. Jamal's a Ring of Honor guy, and Brandon Carr played another 8 years in the league. I mean, you got four impact starters in one draft and Glenn Dorsey. And when you think about the drafts they had before that, so in 07, you draft Dwayne Bowe. In 2006, you draft Tom Bahali. Just by using those 3 years, you created a foundation that was able to carry you for the next 5 to 7 years. The Chiefs were a really talented bunch over the next 5 to 7 years. Now, they didn't get it right at the quarterback position, but 2 through 53, the Chiefs were well put together, and I think very evenly built. A lot of that was because you hit on young talent and you were able to build upon it. As I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs right now and understanding that it's a very fluid situation, if I had asked you at the end of year one, how do you feel about Juan Thornhill and Mecole Hardman, everybody is over the moon for those guys, and we've seen how their careers have turned. But these are the prominent players right now on this team under the age of 25. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Lucas Niang, Nick Bolton, Willie Gay Jr., Mike Dana, Rashad Fenton, Snead, and Ward. If that's the foundation that you have for the next 5 to 7 years in terms of young players that are all under the age of 25, that I would say a majority of these guys, you would feel pretty good about a second contract. I'm all for signing Rashad Fenton to another deal. Snead, another deal. Ward, another deal. The way that Nick Bolton's played, he seems like a guy you want to have around for a while. The way that Willie Gay Jr. has played, a guy that you want to have around for a while. Obviously, Creed Humphrey, he's playing at an all-pro level. He's a rookie. Trey Smith, playing at an all-pro level. He's a rookie. You're going to reward your sixth-round draft pick whenever it comes time to do so. I think you've got to feel really good about the foundation of this team. And we say all the time that Veach's job is going to get harder once you pay Patrick Mahomes. That once you give Mahomes the bag that they've given him and that contract really starts to kick in at the end of this season, it's going to be of the utmost importance for you to hit in the way that you've hit in the draft. And I've had my issues with the way that he's drafted in the picks, but we can't deny what we're seeing right now. Nick Bolton's played at a high level. Creed Humphrey's played at a high level. Trey Smith played at a high level. You've somewhat fixed the linebacker group, even though we complain about Ben Neiman. And you've built up the interior of your offensive line for the next 5 to 7 years. I've had my issues with Brett Veach. I'm sure I'll have my issues with him again in the future. But I got to give credit where it's due. And right now I'm looking at the foundation that they've created. And if you've got a dozen players under the age of 25 that you feel really good about, you should feel really good about the health of your organization moving forward.
Perhaps this is semantics, but I disagree on the idea that these guys are foundational guys draft-wise. They are good picks, and they are important to the Chiefs being good and relevant throughout the Mahomes contract. But the way the draft is structured, the way it works is you get that bonus fifth year for first-round picks. So you have a player cost-controlled for 5 seasons. That's just the way it works. I view first-round picks as foundational pieces. And one of my complaints with Brett Veach is either A, he throws that commodity away for expensive players that then don't turn out to be long-term solutions, but long-term cap problems, or he uses it on a position where you would never really worry about 5 years or beyond 5 years, because that's not how you should use your first round picks. So maybe it's semantics, but you're right. The Rashad Fentons, the Creed Humphreys, the Trey Smiths, great job. You found the mortar. I want you to be able to go find some brick. You inherited all the brick. You inherited Kelsey. You inherited Mahomes. You inherited Hill. You inherited all these pieces. You inherited Chris Jones. You inherited those drafted pieces. I want you to use your first round pick to go find more of those guys so you're not chasing your tail money-wise on paying them. And maybe you get another position, a foundational piece, and you're not chasing your tail and overspending in free agency or making a trade and then overspending to lock that guy up. That's how I would view his foundational pieces, but the mortar is good.
This is where I'll disagree a little bit, and I can't believe that I'm the one that has to run to the defense of Brett Veach. This has almost never happened before. I think it's somewhat unfair to hold him to the standard of John Dorsey, because it looks like John Dorsey drafted a Hall of Fame player and maybe two of them. Like, we believe that Travis Kelce is going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it's not like you drafted a brick player you're talking about. Like, you drafted one of the greatest bricks in the history of the league, Tyreek Hill. He looks like a guy that can go to Canton, Ohio. The last guy drafted two Hall of Fame level players. Two Hall of Fame level guys. So I think to your point is, and maybe we are arguing semantics a little bit, and that's part of Sports Talk Radio, I would guess, is I would say that Veach hasn't drafted a superstar player yet. But there's no denying that you have drafted really productive players yet and players that you can build around. Now, eventually, do you need to draft superstars? Of course. Of course, eventually, you need to draft them. But do you need to draft them? Like, I'm looking right now at Buffalo, and I understand Buffalo hasn't won a championship, but you didn't draft Diggs. You didn't draft Beasley. You didn't draft Emmanuel Sanders. Sure, you made your Trey White on the defensive side. So, of course, you always got to build through the draft, and you have to do those things. But if you can keep kind of hitting on those secondary players you're talking about, and you're capitalizing on second-round picks, third-round picks, you're finding guys like Trey Smith in the sixth round, you're getting guys like Mike Danna, and you're turning them into guys that you would continue to keep around and sign to a second deal. You got the quarterback right. You tell me running back is largely interchangeable, so you don't spend hey, we learned our lesson the first time. We're not spending a significant resource on running back. We'll keep kind of cycling in, and we'll get we'll either spend a mid-round pick or we'll bring in a veteran in free agency to play the running back position. We messed up the first time. And then you just keep figuring it out on skill position players. Can you win a championship that way? I mean, we'll see, but I agree with you. At some point, you got to draft superstars. You got to draft tier one Pro Bowl, all pro guys at edge rusher or outside linebacker. You got to do that. But we're talking about, he hasn't built a foundation. I think they got their cornerback situation figured out. I mean, moving forward, if you're telling me Snead, Ward, and Fenton are your corners, I feel good about it. If that's your 1, 2, and 3 based off what we've seen this season, as long as you get good pass rush, I can live with it. If your foundation at linebacker for the next 5 to 7 years is Bolton on one side and Gay on the other side, it's a really good starting point. It's a really good starting point. You eventually got to develop a wide receiver. You've never done that. You eventually got to develop a pass rusher. You've never done that. I would say in some aspects you've missed it running back. So I'm not going to make it seem like his drafts are without blame or without flaw. But I would just push back on the notion that they haven't built a good foundation. They've built a good foundation. Interior offensive line, cornerback. You've built a good foundation. Now you got to go find those home runs. You've hit a lot of doubles over the last couple years in the draft, it would appear. You got to start hitting triples, and you guys are hitting for home runs in the draft. And that's how you keep this thing going and winning at a really high level. Coming up on the other side, I'll give you my extra point before we get out of here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
My extra point for the day is going to be NFL related. And right now on ESPN.com, there is a story where the headline reads, "How good is your NFL coach on fourth down calls? We rank all 32 coaches." And it was something that really stood out to me about the top five. All the members in the top five are either relatively new head coaches or Andy Reid disciples. So number one is Cliff Kingsbury. Number two is Matt LaFleur. Number three is John Harbaugh. Number four is Robert Saleh of the New York Jets. And number five is Andy Reid. I will say this, Rob, about our generation. And I don't know if it's analytics and the numbers tell you to go for it more, or, and you guys might laugh at me, we come from the Madden generation where you're much more inclined to go for it on fourth down and trust your instincts and trust your guts and trust that you can come up with one play to get you 3 yards on fourth down. This new generation is just much more inclined to do it. Think about it. Cliff Kingsbury, under 40, right? Matt LaFleur, under 40, right? Robert Saleh, under 40. Now, Harbaugh, obviously over 40, and Andy Reid, certainly under 40, but it makes sense to me how Andy, offensive-minded coach, has typically had good quarterback play. He's much more likely, especially with this offense, to roll the dice on fourth down, and with the way that Baltimore runs the football and with their quarterback, they're much more inclined to do it too. The numbers are staring you in the face. That I would say, if you're one of the football fans that are on the side of take the points, that's starting to become a very antiquated belief where I am all for being aggressive for it on fourth down, being aggressive for it also when it calls you to go for two. I don't know how much we got a chance to talk about this week. The weeks just kind of blurred together, kind of catching up with everything that we missed. But Rob, we haven't really talked a whole lot about the Iron Bowl. And I'm sitting there as a college football fan, and I'm screaming at the television. So you guys know the way the overtime system works. You choose offense or defense. And if you get past the first two overtimes, you stop playing overtime, and you basically do a two-point conversion shootout until somebody wins, right? Like, that's kind of how the game works. And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm watching Auburn, who doesn't get the ball first. So they play defense first. They give up a touchdown. Alabama kicks the extra point. They're up seven. Auburn then scores a touchdown. So they score 6 points, and now you're forced with a decision. You can either kick an extra point or try to win the game. And I try to be pretty consistent about this. You will never hear me on this show ever be mad at the Kansas City Chiefs for them going for it on fourth down on their opponent's side of the field. there's some times on your side of the field in the shadow of your end zone that you're like, what are you doing here? Like, this isn't a good time to do it. Like, this isn't a smart gamble on my side. But I will never come on here and it's a 4th and 2 from the Denver 31. Kansas City decides to go for it with its $500 million quarterback, and I criticize Andy Reid for making that decision. You win some, you lose some. Like, I'll never be in that situation. I'll also never criticize you for going for 2 at the end of game and trying to win. At that point, you have, based on the numbers, a 45% play to go win the game, right? Like, the 2-point conversion numbers tell you it's at about 45 to 47%. So it's not a pure 50-50, and that's the average around the league. So that's not Kansas City's average or a team that can really score. You got about a 45 to 47% chance to go win the football game. Then go try to win the football game. Right there. Trust your offense. Trust your mind. Trust your quarterback and run the best 2-yard play you got. These coaches love to tell us how much film they watch and how much they practice. If you can't come up with a 2-yard play to go win the football game, then go find a new hobby. Go collect Legos or Beanie Babies. You shouldn't be coaching football if you don't trust your ability to figure out a 2-yard play to go win the football game. And it might work, it might not work, but at least take the shot. At least go take the shot. So I'm happy now that I've seen the numbers. I'm happy seeing the numbers that we see younger coaches in a generation that values going for it more. I mean, these are the top 9. You can do top 8, whatever you want to do. Cliff Kingsbury, Matt LaFleur, John Harbaugh, so Reed disciple, Robert Saleh, first-year coach, young guy, Reed, Nick Sirianni, young guy, David Culley, not a young guy, but first-year head coach.
Reed disciple.
Also Reed disciple. Kevin Stefanski,
young guy
of the Cleveland Browns, that's 8, and Matt Rhule at 9. Another coach that's under 40. This is the wave of the future. The wave of the future is going forward on 4th down.
I'm happy you brought up the 2-point conversion stuff because I hate that I only have about 90 seconds left of the show because I could do a lot of this. I am with the Madden generation. I'm a proponent of all this going on for on 4th down. You know, the numbers indicate that going for on 4th down is smarter than not. If you recall in week 1, I was mad Mike McCarthy kicked a field goal to tie the game and give Tom Brady a chance to win. To your Iron Bowl point, I would always go for 2 after I scored because I would just keep going for 2 because that's how the new stupid system works, and that's how it is. But I agree. I will never, ever, ever crush the Chiefs for going for a win. We all remember fondly as fans. Dick Vermeil went for the win with Larry Johnson up and over against the Raiders. Didn't kick the field goal, didn't take the points, play to win the game. If fans are going to tell me how much they hate, oh, a coin flip causes so much problem now, who's going to win based on the flip of a coin, then you should always be going for it on 4th down in a plus territory because you're minimizing the impact of that coin flip. So what drives me insane is when fans are like, oh, the coin flip determines everything, while simultaneously being like, you got to take your points. You can't have it both ways.
I'm with you. Someone said, I don't know all the coaches. What's the team so we can see if these coaches are successful or not? You should just go on the store and read it, ESPN.com. I don't say that like I wouldn't tell you, but I have literally 40 seconds left in the rest of the show. Coming up tomorrow, Sean Barber will be on the show. We'll start to get you ready for Chiefs and Broncos and Sunday Night Football as we really make that transition to really previewing the game and talking more Chiefs and Broncos. I'm out of here. I don't know who's up
next. K-State basketball, baby.
It's K-State basketball. Who they got? Omaha or something?
Albany?
Basically Omaha. That's basically New York's Omaha. It's the drive. We out of here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.